Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.
So, here we are again in a slightly different form.
Here we are again, risen from the dead.
Yes.
Yes.
Phoenix-like.
Phoenix-like. Or indeed Sergio Canavero-like. Notice that clever little segue there.
Well, I don't know if it's clever yet because I don't know what you're talking
Sergio
about.
Sergio Canavero, you will recall, is the Italian scientist who announced that he would perform the world's first human head transplant this year. He's now put that back to next year. But just to allay those who say, oi, we gave you all this funding for this year and it hasn't happened yet, he has come back and said that within 3 years, he will be able to transplant the brains of people who have been cryogenically frozen and put them into new bodies.
Hmm.
Just
it's
like
difficult
us.
Really to disprove when he hasn't actually managed the doing it with a live person
no,
yet.
No, he hasn't managed doing that. However, he has no lack of confidence. And indeed, Clive Cohen, who's a professor of neuroscience at King's College London, said the chances of bringing a brain back are infinitesimal. So not all the scientific community thinks that he's onto a winner here.
No. So Sergio Canavero wanted to get ahead of all the other people might, because he wanted to be the first person to transplant a head,
yes.
And he's now put it back. He might worry that somebody else gets ahead of the head transplanting.
He might. It's a hard thing to say ahead of. He has a head ready. The head is still attached to a body, although he's working with a Chinese medical team who did the world's first hand transplant, so it's likely they're going to pick a Chinese head instead.
I do feel slightly sorry for the poor man who thought his head was going to get transplanted this year and is now being told it's next year.
Yes. Or if at all.
Yes.
Yes. Or all those people who had themselves cryogenically frozen in the hope that one day someone like Sergio Canavero might come along and experiment.
Yes, though they're obviously not going to be disappointed because they haven't been resuscitated yet.
That's
so
true.
They're
that's
still
true.
Yeah, dormant.
Presumably when you're cryogenically frozen, you're frozen before you die. In which case, doesn't that count as euthanasia?
Because, don't believe they are. Disney, I think, was cryogenically frozen after he died. There's the idea that somehow you can somehow bring people back if you do it quickly enough. I believe.
Oh.
I don't know. I haven't had it done yet.
So maybe
experiment with it this week, Steve, and come back and tell us next week what the results are.
I will report back. You watch this space.
All right. So let us leave Mr. Canavero behind. No doubt next year we'll be saying that it's going to be the year after.
Next year, he almost certainly will be saying it's the year after, yes. Mm. But we'll wait and see what happens next year. I'll watch this space, listen to this space. Can you listen to a space?
All right. So that is Mr. Canavero.
And on from there, well, it's a couple of Amazon stories, I'm afraid. Amazon, they keep on barging into this show, have you noticed?
I do.
With relentless regularity. And the first one concerns the Amazon Echo, which, as you know, I'm a big fan of, even more so since I got the Amazon Echo built into the new Amazon Fire TV stick.
Mm. Now, you've persuaded me to buy one of those. I confess I've virtually given up using the actually Amazon Echo part of it because it didn't seem to do what I wanted to do the whole time.
Last night, I decided I wanted to watch The Man in the High Castle. So I picked it up and I said, Man in the High Castle. And it started playing it for me.
Hmm.
It's very good.
I tried with music, and the trouble was it didn't seem to...
No. Classical music. Hmm. And the kind of music that you like, no one else has ever heard of, let alone Amazon.
I think you'll find Beethoven's still got a few fans out there.
Well, okay, I was thinking of the more obscure spoon-based numbers.
I know some obscure artists, possibly.
Anyway,
I have asked it about the weather and I've asked it about the news, and yes, I suppose it gives you that information. Were you aware that in the spin-off series to The Good Wife, which I recommend to anybody, it's an absolutely fantastic series, but there's now a new spin-off series, which I think is going out on Channel 4, called The Good Fight. One of the characters there is talking in their office and suddenly Amazon Echo starts responding. And it's a running gag now. Obviously, I don't think they've got it. It's not called Echo or Alexa. I think it's got a slightly different name somehow. But it begins with A and somehow it just keeps getting triggered. It's a very amusing thing. You don't find that a problem. You're in the kitchen trying to do something and suddenly your Amazon Echo is responding.
Every now and again, it'll chip in like a dog tugging at your trouser cuff just to remind you that it's there. I find it quite charming.
So anyway, we were talking about Amazon Echo.
Amazon Echo have announced the Amazon Echo Show. And the Amazon Echo Show, as the name kind of implies, includes a screen. And on the screen, it'll show the weather, it'll show shopping lists, it'll show your security cameras if you have them networked, it'll show YouTube, it'll show photographs, and it'll also show the lyrics of the song that's currently playing. And if you have friends who also have an Amazon Echo Show, you'll be able to make video calls to them.
So what form is the screen? Is it a TV or is it just a...
It's a built-in screen. It's a...
Built into what?
Built into the Amazon Echo Show. It's a new device which will have a screen built into it. So it won't be the rather elegant tall cylinder reminiscent of 2001 that I have in my kitchen at the moment, but it'll be a different kind of
thing. So we're sort of talking about what? A sort of tablet type thing?
It'll be a screen mounted on a plinth, so it's just standing up and looking at you.
Jeez, I can't remember which comedian. One comedian said that he thought plinth was the funniest word ever. It does not make me laugh.
What do you mean Woody Allen, who he insisted that every funny word had to have a K in it?
Oh.
Anyway, so this it's the bad news is, A, it costs $230. B, it's not out on the 28th of June. And C, it's the United States only for the time being. But it'll turn up here eventually.
It might be one of those Amazon things that perhaps arrives and goes away very quietly. There have been a few.
There have been a few, very few, actually. But anyway, that's our first Amazon story, Amazon Echo Show, coming to a kitchen near you within the next year or so, I would guess.
You don't have to have your Amazon Echo in your kitchen. Only you, well, not only you, but you do, but it doesn't mean everybody else does.
No, they could have it anywhere, I suppose. Yes. I just think of it as being a natural kitchen thing.
Okay.
The reason being that if I'm cooking in the kitchen and my hands are covered in whatever I happen to be cooking, then I don't want to start twiddling the dials on my radio.
That's quite a good selling point.
It's a good selling point. I should tell Amazon, yes.
So you said it had a couple of Amazon things.
Yes, the second one is that Amazon are launching into live gigs. Oh. And they are doing this...
Beethoven?
sadly not.
He they could be cryogenically restored by Sergio Canavero.
Yes, he'd still be deaf. No, he wouldn't be deaf. But no,
I'm sure you could probably repair that.
Depends if they do a head transplant or just a brain transplant.
But even with the head transplant, you'd probably get to be hearing aid. That would help a bit.
He probably could, yes.
We might have gone off topic a little bit.
Okay, back onto Amazon Live Gigs. So they are starting live gigs this month, and they're starting them in the UK, which is very interesting. And their lineup is Blondie on the 23rd of May, Alison Moyet on the 12th of June, Katie Melua, Texas. Katie Melua. So I think it gives you an indication of their target audience. You're down with the kids.
Yes,
exactly.
Down with the kids.
So, but the Blondie and Alison Moyet, I mean, those are firmly aged, how could I put it politely, people of our kind of age. The more mature listener. completely unwisely.
Yes. So what? These are tickets sold solely through?
These are tickets that are sold solely through Amazon for Amazon Prime subscribers. Mm. They are in small venues. So the Blondie and Alison Moyet gigs are at the Round Chapel in Hackney, which only seats 750 people. So it's a nice, small, intimate venue. The tickets are £150 for Blondie and £95 for Alison Moyet.
What about Katie Melua, which is the one I might want to go to?
I didn't look that far ahead because I'm still very tempted by the Blondie gig. 40 years since Debbie Harry's first gig in the UK. And here she is back again.
What were there? I never really sort of got to hear. I probably heard them inadvertently, but never really was into them. So what were their hits?
Oh, many great songs. Heart of Glass.
Well, that's anatomically incorrect.
Hanging on the Telephone, yes.
Hanging on the Telephone, that's fine, yes.
Which contained the splendid line, "I will give you my finest hour, the one I spent watching you shower."
Oh.
A very, very fine band indeed.
Now, as an Amazon Prime customer, why have I not been told about this?
They have kept it quite quiet, actually. They have not emailed Amazon Prime people to tell them. I don't know why. But they're filming the gigs, of course, and they'll be shown exclusively on Amazon TV.
Right. And have you bought your ticket?
I haven't, but I shall do so. They are still available, even for the one on the 23rd of May, which is not that far away.
So, given that you don't get an email from Amazon, even if you're an Amazon Prime customer, how do you actually find where to buy them?
Well, one of the things about being the technology editor for Share Radio is that I do have sources other than those that are emailed directly to me.
I'm asking on behalf of the listener, I don't care whether you can get your tickets.
You go to tickets.amazon.co.uk.
Okay.
Have a look there.
Okay.
900 Bicycles is my favourite song of Katie Melua, but...
My favourite aphrodisiac is you.
Is that right?
Which, but not you, obviously, but...
Incurable romantic
you. Her song, yes. Produced originally, I think it changed now, but produced originally by Mike Batt, who, of course, got into a terrible problem when he did a sort of mention on one of his albums. He did a tiny bit of silence and did something like, you know, with thanks to... what's his name? Who did the 4 minutes thingy silence?
Roger Bannister?
No.
John
the classical
Cage.
Composer John Cage. Cage. That's right. And the John Cage estate sued and won. So he was very heavily out of pocket. And then he found Katie
Melua. It wasn't 4 minutes, of course. It was 2 minutes, 33 seconds.
Well, I can't remember what it is.
Well, it makes a difference.
Well, it does.
4 minutes, 33 seconds, by mistake.
Yes.
Because
and now
273
it's...
seconds, which is minus 273 degrees centigrade is 0 degrees Kelvin, as you know, absolute zero.
And now that you said it, I think we should have a little silence too. We'll be back in a moment. So we're talking gadgets and gizmos and quite a lot of other things with Steve Capp, our technology editor.
Rambling. And we are talking, well, now City Mapper.
Oh, yes.
City Mapper, for those who live in London, and indeed for those who don't live in London or many of the UK's major cities, City Mapper is absolutely the best app for getting you around a city.
Hmm. And particularly if you use buses.
Buses, tube trains, it'll tell you. So for buses, it will tell you, to tell it where you are, where you want to go, it'll show you all the possible ways of getting there using tube, buses, overground, taxi, walking, Boris bikes. It'll give you the whole list of ways to get there.
And even one or two very bizarre ones.
Even a couple of very bizarre ones they throw in just for their own amusement. And they are free and they have many extras. So with the buses, once you it tells you how long it'll take for the bus to arrive at your stop, and you can go onto a map and you can see your bus wherever it happens to be working its way towards you down its route on the map. If you go on a tube train, it tell it where you want to go. It will tell you which is the optimum carriage to get on, so that you're opposite the exit when you arrive at your destination. Very, very good stuff. And they have just launched their own bus.
Really?
Really, yes. It started
Why?
On the 9th of May because they've done a lot of research into how people use transport. And they've realised that conventional buses are not flexible, apart from the bendy buses, are not flexible. They work to an established timetable. They don't aren't always in the right place at the right time. And they think, well, there must be a better way of doing this. So they've set up a circular route, which basically goes over Waterloo Bridge going north, along through the city, back over Blackfriars Bridge, along the South Bank. Of course, if you don't live in London, then this is meaningless to you. But a little circular tour around central London. And these will be smart buses that are guided by how many people there are waiting and how many people want to go there. There will be a smart display that shows where you are currently and what's coming up next. There will be USB sockets under the seats for charging your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it free during the testing period, which I think is just a couple of days.
How, as all the best interviewers ask, do we find out more?
We would go to citymapper.com. Interesting.
I use the app because you recommended it, and it is indeed quite good. I particularly find, as I leave home, I can check to see how far away the bus is from the bus stop to know whether I need to walk quickly or slowly or, indeed, just not bother.
Well, exactly. If you checked it before you left home, then you would know that you didn't have to leave home just then, and you could stop and have another cup of tea.
Well, I suppose it's possible.
It's possible. You're
it's
not
possible.
Convinced. Okay.
I never think about it till I've actually left.
No, I'm the same. And the bus stop, my bus stop is opposite my house. And I go out there and I stand at the bus stop and then I look to see what time the next bus is coming. And I do it with such startling regularity. It's crazy.
Yes, you would think.
You would think, wouldn't you?
By now.
Yes,
but it is, City Mapper is extremely interesting, and that does sound a quite intriguing idea. I do recall a friend of my parents many years ago took, I think, a number 22 bus back to Putney. And when the conductor, because in those days they had these things called conductors, asked him where he wanted to go to, he gave his actual address.
Yes.
And they took him.
Did they?
as a laugh. they did. He was the only passenger on the bus by that stage, so they actually dropped him at his door. But
excellent.
I guess it doesn't happen much these days.
I imagine it doesn't, no.
So
we're on to, it's the Kickstarter time of the week, and introducing the Sunrise Smart Pillow. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And the thing about the smart pillow, it really is
How
a smart pillow.
How can you have a smart pillow?
Well, let me explain. Tuck away your skepticism and open your luggles. Because the smart pillow, it's a pillow that includes... It's stuffed full of technology, unlike your usual
pillow. I'd rather it's stuffed full of down.
There's probably a bit of down in there as well. So the idea of the pillow is it will lull you to sleep and wake you up appropriately. So it includes two strips of LEDs. Running around the edge of the pillow, and when it gets to time for you to wake up, they start off as a dull red and then gradually change to a bright yellow to simulate the sunrise. So you are woken up gently but firmly.
Have you tried this or simply read about it?
I've read about it.
Okay. And then so we don't know if it works.
Well, they haven't actually invented it yet. It's Kickstarter. But
But
when it gets to the time you should be waking up, then it starts playing music to you. And you can presumably select your music, or you could just wake up to a bird song to accompany the sunrise.
And don't select a lullaby, otherwise it'll negate the whole thing.
It includes sensors that monitor your sleep pattern, and it wakes you at the appropriate time in your sleep cycle, so that you're woken up, not exactly when you set the alarm for, but at the appropriate time, around then. It has many other things, like you can fall asleep to an audiobook. It senses when you've fallen asleep and then it turns the book off. You can fall asleep to nature sounds or guided meditation, or you can turn the lights on if you want to read a book. And then the lights will come on. And when you finish reading the book, it'll tell that you've dozed off and it'll turn the lights off for you.
And have you plunked your money down?
I haven't plunked my money down because I think it sounds like a load of nonsense. But but I think it's an interesting idea. And how often can one get to talk about a smart pillow? $99 is what they want. And it ends on May the 19th. So
I'm trying to think what other words we've had after the smart. We've had fridge, but that made some sense.
World's first go before it.
Usually, yes. We had, I think, a toothbrush, didn't we, once?
The world's first smart
and
toothbrush.
And a hairbrush. Yes.
Smart hairbrush. Yes, indeed.
Yes. Okay, that now we've got a pillow. One. Gosh, fairly soon you're going to be having to throw out anything in the house that doesn't have the word smart connected with it.
Fairly soon, you won't be able to buy anything that isn't smart.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
So, what now?
Well, there's a game that I've been rather enjoying. I know you tease me for playing too many games, but I do play games on my iPad as my game platform of choice. It's a game that started off on Kickstarter in 2014, and they raised the money to build the game. The game is called Her Majesty's Spiffing.
Right.
And shall we listen to their promo?
Is it Her Majesty is spiffing or Her Majesty smiffing something?
Her Majesty apostrophe S spiffing. So it could be Her Majesty is spiffing, or in fact, it could not. Have a listen.
It is the year near future and Britain is broken. Reeling in the aftermath of a political crisis not seen since an intoxicated Churchill staggered upon the sands of Normandy to declare, "Right, Fritz, let's be having you," the United Kingdom is in ruin. Facing growing international isolation, Her Majesty the Queen has decided enough is enough. It's time for one to take back control. However, given the bleakness of the situation on Earth, Her Majesty has instead turned to the stars. Enlist in Her Majesty's Special Planetary Force for inhabiting new galaxies as you, yes you, young boy, girl, or unspecified, set a course for adventure. An adventure to establish a new galactic British empire. Venture into the cosmos. Solve puzzles. Engage in witty banter. Endure crippling claustrophobia. Gradually succumb to the sustained exposure of cosmic radiation and more. All for Queen and country. So purchase Her Majesty's Spiffing and help make Britain great once more. Go on. Do it for England. And the other bits left too. Thank you.
Can we sit down now?
We can sit down. So, it, as you can imagine, it is a somewhat tongue-in-cheek game. It opens with a video of the Queen pressing the big red button to launch the clock tower that encases Big Ben, which of course is a rocket and it goes up to the stars. And it launches Her Majesty's Special Planetary Force for inhabiting new galaxies, or Her Majesty's Spiffing for short. So you see the apostrophe there is a possessive rather than an abbreviation of is. And you play the character of Captain English, who is a rather bumbling, somewhat antiquated captain of this the spacecraft, which is front end looks like a an old Mini with complete with a Union Jack painted on the roof, mm-hmm. and the back end is a more of a sort of typical spacecraft. The only other person on it is the young Welsh recruit, Alid Jones, not played by Alid Jones, but right. with a voice that could be, and it's lovely. The voice of the captain is similar enough to Patrick Stewart that you might be fooled by thinking you're listening to Captain Jean-Luc Picard. The ambient sounds are alternate between those from Star Trek and snatches of drum beats reminiscent of Mission Impossible. So I'm just trying to retrieve that from the depths there. And it's a very entertaining game. It is available for PlayStation, Xbox, Android, Windows, and iOS. And you can get it for your iPad or indeed iPhone for, I think, it's £3.99. Not a very long game, but a very entertaining one.
So you've played it all the way through?
I have played it all the way. I haven't played it all the way through because right at the last minute, where I'm trying to disable the French spacecraft washing machine so that I can remove the force field around their flag so I can hoist the Union Jack. But I used all the washing up liquid to allow myself to slip through the porthole, which I was otherwise somewhat too portly to get through. Oh. I could instead have done a few turns on the exercise bike. Apparently, that would have done it. I hope I'm not giving away too much of the game here.
So, in order to actually finish it, you'd have to start it all over again, and with the information you now know.
Yes, but I'm not about to do that. But it's an entertaining game. It's very satirical, and it's fun.
Okay, so that's Her Majesty's Spiffing. Okay, what now?
And now we are on to, well, a product that also launched on Kickstarter. It was called the Fidget Cube. And this launched in September last year. And it is a small cube, similar to a die. And they wanted $19, about £14.5 for this. They had a target of $15,000. They made over $5 million in pledges because a lot of people wanted them. And for your £15 plus postage from the United States, you could get a fidget cube. Now, of course, you can get one from much cheaper sources. I have one in my pocket here that I got from Banggood.com,
B-A-N-G-G-O-O-D. We've talked about them many times.
Have a little look at that. So it has six sides, and each side has something you can fiddle with. There are buttons, there are rocker switches, there are clickers. What about the microphone and make a few noises with that? There are things, latchety things.
Yes, I'm not quite sure what I am sort of doing here.
It's just for fidgeting. There is no other purpose to it. And this one, rather than being $19 and sent from the States, it is from Banggood £2.82, including postage.
Do you think this is as good as the original?
Probably not, but it is very, very much cheaper. And so this is the kind of thing you're going to get bored with very quickly anyway.
So presumably when somebody raises a great deal of money on Kickstarter, sort of existing manufacturers who are quick off the mark may think, oh, hang on a second, maybe we should do one of these.
Exactly. It is just what they do. So these are very popular at the moment, and spinners, of course, are suddenly everywhere at the moment.
I was reading about those the other day.
Yes.
Are everywhere, but teachers would rather hope they weren't in the classroom.
Oh, is that right? Are they annoying teachers? Everything annoys teachers. In my day, teachers
were apparently annoying other children as well, and various things.
Deely boppers.
What's a
Remember deely boppers? Deely boppers were an elastic headband which contained two plastic like ping pong balls on springs, and by shaking your head you can make them clash together.
Sort of the inverse of clackers.
The inverse of clackers, yes. And teachers in my day hated those with a passion.
Which I haven't seen a spinner yet. You must bring one in so I can see.
I shall bring you one to have a look at.
But I think that's about it.
That's about it.
Thank you very much indeed. We will have another episode of Gadget and Gizmos next week for you.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.